Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody. With our star comedians, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hopper. Our guests, Mr. Richard Croner, gargantuous trainer. Wynn Murray and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. Ladies and gentlemen, Friday marks the 166th anniversary of the historic ride of Paul Revere. Unfortunately, I can't bring you Paul Revere.
Why?
I can't even bring you Paul's horse. But I can bring you another famous nag. And here he is, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And please, Mr. Wallington, henceforth, I wish, in spite of your new suit, you are a rhapsody in mahogany tonight, aren't you? And please, Mr. Wallington, henceforth, I wish you would guard against becoming so hysterical with your historical opening remarks, if that's possible.
And what's wrong with getting some early American history in my introduction?
Jimmy, I get enough early American history from my joke writers. I don't need it from the
But this is a joke, Fred. This is a joke.
No kidding.
Yes, Paul Revere had a horse. Yeah. I bring you in with a plug.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah, huh?
Oh, you don't get it. Look, horse, plug, see? Horse and plug,
yeah.
It's a joke.
Well, are you going to explain it, are you?
I'd like very much.
Well, I wish you would. And while Mr. Wallington clarifies, let us turn to the latest news of the week. Now, you go over there and explain it to yourself, Jimmy, and when you get it, you come back and let us hear from it. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. Jamaica, Long Island. Metropolitan horse racing season gets underway on Saturday last as Jamaica track opens and is jammed by largest opening day crowd in New York turf history. The official attendance figures were
37,284 paid admissions.
The amount of money bet was
$1,288,551.
The feature race, the Pomonok Handicap, was won by
King Cole by Merry Old Soul out of Fitness 3.
As the gala crowd saw favorites win all seven races and food and drink bars hum all afternoon, Texaco News moved about to bring you flashes from sporting highlight of last week. A little-known member of the jockey club, Eustace Spavin, waxed enthusiastic over the outlook. The Jamaica opening was a great success, was it, Mr. Spavin?
I never seen such a crowd. It was humanity at its jammedest.
Well put, Mr. Spavin. But tell me, what attracts so many people to a racetrack?
Well, you know how it is. There's one born every minute. They got to have some place to go.
But why should more people go to the track this year than ever before?
Oh, the big attraction is the pari mutuel machine.
The machines. The horse player has a better chance of betting?
Exactly. With the pari mutuels, everybody wins.
Everybody wins? Well, how do you mean?
Well, during the racing season here in New York, $100 million is generally wagered.
$100 million. Well, how does everybody win?
The state collects $50 million or $100 million in tax. The state wins, right?
Right.
The racetrack collects the other $50 million in revenue. The track wins, right?
Right.
The little man who bets $2.
The little man wins.
He loses.
He loses.
But he wins.
Well, how can he win if he loses?
He can't keep betting his $2 forever, can he?
No.
He's got to go broke sometime, ain't he?
Yeah.
And that's where the little man wins.
I don't get it.
What does the little man do when he's broke?
I don't know.
He applies to the state for aid.
Well, naturally.
Where does the state get the money to give the little man?
You mean?
Right. From the $50 million little men like the little man lost at the track in a fight.
In other words...
It's a vicious cycle. Everybody wins, including the horses.
Now, wait a minute. How do the horses win? All a horse gets for running is a mess of oats.
That ain't hay, brother.
Yes, as the man said when he heard the new announcer on the Amos and Andy program, that ain't hay. And thank you, Eustace Spavin. A jockey who was dissatisfied with his showing at the track on opening day was little Solly Sliver. What? He outgrew his name, but I mean, he hasn't neglected to have a chance. I would like to see the horse, Solly, that you were on. What happened at the track opening day, Solly?
A horse double-crossed me.
A horse double-crossed you?
Yeah.
How?
Well, I've been riding out on the coast.
Oh, this was your first race in the East?
Yeah, I just left the Bing Crosby stable.
Oh, you were a Bing Crosby jockey?
Well, jockey ain't quite the word. I was more like a mounted pedestrian.
You weren't going any place, but you were up higher, not doing it, I see.
Out at Santa Anita, the jockey riding the Crosby horse in the last race has to carry a lantern.
Why?
It's always dark when you finish.
Oh, when
you're finished. Yeah. Bing ought to put convoys with his horses.
Did you suggest that?
Why else am I looking for a job at Jamaica?
I get it. Well, now, what about this horse that double-crossed you?
Well, I get me a mount in the first race. I'm putting on a saddle.
Yeah?
The horse leans down, looks me right in the eye.
Yes?
He winks at me.
He winks at you?
Yeah. I figure the horse knows something.
What happened?
Well, come time for the race, we're going to the post. Again, he winks.
Well, why did the horse keep winking at you?
I figure he wants me to lay off. He wants to run his own race.
Well, did you let him?
Why not? The horse is winking. He must know something.
Well, naturally.
Well, the barrier goes up. Bang, I'm away. Led.
Yeah?
I lean down, I say, let's go, boy.
And?
He turns, and he winks.
Yeah?
Well, I figure he knows what he's doing at the quarter. At the quarter, we're still led.
Yeah?
I'm getting worried. I lean down again.
Yeah?
Before I can say giddy up, he winks again.
And this went on?
At the half, we're last. The three-quarter mark, we're last. I'm getting panicky. But every time I look down, the horse is still winking.
Well, what happened at the finish?
We're last.
No kidding.
Yeah, I get back to the stable, I go around to the front of the horse. I'm burning.
Well, no wonder.
I say, listen, bum, what's a big idea?
And?
It gives me another wink.
Well,
that's when I knew I was double-crossed.
How?
I took a good look at the horse. He don't know nothing.
Well, then why was he winking at you?
He had something in his eye.
And the moral is?
Never trust a horse or a woman who winks. You'll finish out of the money.
Okay, observation, and thank you. Yes, I don't know what to do with it, but I've got it. And thank you, jockey Solly Sliver. Hey, young lady, you come back here and pick that up and take it out of here, jockey. A young lady who covered the track opening professionally was Miss Brenda Yumtop. Now, Brenda.
Say, would you mind using my pen name? It's Bo Bell.
Bo Bell? You're a newspaper woman, are you?
Yeah, I'm fashion editor on the racing form.
Fashion editor on the... I see.
And I'm also running a best column for ladies under the name of Feedbag Fanny.
Feedbag?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, Feedbag, do you play the horses yourself?
Well, if I get something hot, I'll go for a couple of skins.
Well, good for you. Well, what do you report in this column of yours? Just the woman's angle?
Mostly advice. You know, most women around racetracks are soaked.
You have seen specific instances?
At Jamaica, sadly, I've seen instances upon instances.
You did? For instance?
Well, before the first race,
yeah.
One dame heard a horse was scratched. So she ran down to the paddock with a bottle of McJerichrone. Yeah, then somebody yells, they're at the post. And 20 dames run out to get Emily's autograph.
Oh, thanks.
And I heard one old dame bragging about her mink coat. She set it down.
Yeah?
When the guy blew the bugle, the mink coat went to the post with six other horses.
Well, tell me, Bo Bell, as fashion editor of the racing form, did you select the best-dressed woman at Jamaica last Saturday?
Yeah, she was was Mrs. Tallulah Weingarten of Upper East Rockaway.
Upper East Rockaway, really?
She was the best dressed woman coming and going.
Tallulah wore two different creations, did she?
Yeah. She arrived at the track wearing a gown by Skipper Alley, a hat by Lucille, shoes by Janet, and furs by I.J. Fox.
What did Mrs. Weingarten wear leaving the track?
A barrel by Rupert.
Well, you can't eat your cake and have it. And thank you, Miss Brenda Yumtop, alias Bo Bell, alias Feedback Fanny. And now the better, who had the worst luck at the track, Mr. Bixby Dill. You had a disastrous day, Bixby.
That I did.
Well, how did you come to go to the track, Bixby?
Well, I'm a motorman on a 6th Avenue subway.
Yes?
I run from downtown to Jamaica.
You run from downtown to Jamaica, you said?
That I did.
Well, fine, but what has the 6th Avenue subway got to do with the first race?
Well, I got a hot tip on a horse called Gesundheit, see?
But if you're the horse's name was Gesundheit.
Gesundheit.
But if you're a motorman in the 6th Avenue subway, how could you get out to bet on a horse?
When I get to Jamaica, I can run out of the train, make the bet, see the race, collect the dough, and get back in time to pull out.
Oh, you had it all figured out, eh?
That I did.
And what happened?
Saturday, I'm riding uptown. I get to thinking.
Thinking what?
Why should I clean up on Gesundheit alone? So I decided to let the subway gang in with me.
Well, how did you spread your tip around?
Well, I stopped at every station on the way uptown and told the boys. They give me their dough.
And when you got to Jamaica?
I had $249 to make a community bet on Gesundheit.
And you left your train at Jamaica?
That I did.
You got into the track on time?
That I did.
You bet the $249 on Gesundheit to win?
That I did.
And you cleaned up a fortune?
That I didn't.
Gesundheit didn't win?
Sneeze won. Gesundheit came in second.
Well, Sneeze always comes before Gesundheit. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, that I did. But too late.
Well, what did your friend say in the 6th Avenue subway?
I was ashamed to face him.
Really?
I ain't seen him since.
You mean you gave up your job?
No, I'm still working.
Well, if you're still a motorman in the 6th Avenue subway, how come you don't see your friend?
Well, I'm running my train over in the 8th Avenue subway till it blows over.
You switched your whole train over into another subway without telling anybody?
That I did.
Well, the racing season is officially open. The state can smile as it rakes in the tax money. The track owners and winners can grin as they get theirs. But when we think of the thousands who lose their money at racetracks every day, we finally realize that the one who always has the last laugh at the track is... Now, ladies and gentlemen, say, Kenny.
Yes, Mr. Allen?
Kenny, tonight a group of our Texaco friends around the country are celebrating a 25th anniversary. Now, I'm going to speak to them in just a minute, but before I start, I'm going to ask you to preface my little address with a song to, you know, to sort of fit the occasion.
You mean a song that was popular 25 years ago?
Yes, Kenny, I have one right here.
My Little Dream Girl.
Uh-huh. Now, if you'll be kind enough to sing My Little Dream Girl and take us all back 25 years, I'll be all set for my speech. Mr. Goodman.
I'd fly for My time is calling me. It's dream time, sweet dream time for you and me. I'm longing to close my eyes, for there's a sweet vision of loveliness. Don't let me wait and learn I'm mistaken. Find my faith shaken in you, sweetheart.
Thank you, Kenny, and now I will tell you why I asked you to take us back 25 years. Tonight, 372 Texaco employees who have completed 25 years of service are honored guests at dinner celebrating this occasion throughout the country. They're being welcomed into the Texaco 25-Year Club by its 958 active members. 81 of the active members who have completed 30 years of service will be presented with their official Texaco 30-year watches. This makes a total of 299 men and women now in the employ of the Texas Company with service records of more than 30 years. These members of the Texaco family, who have attained their records of 25, 30 years and more, comprise the top group in service of the Texaco family of 31,000 employees. The average of all Texaco employees is slightly over 10 years. And so tonight, then, over our network, everyone in the Texas Company and all of us here in the Texaco Star Theater salute you old-timers in service and congratulate you on your splendid record. May your years ahead be as fruitful and as happy as those you are celebrating tonight.
Thank you.
Astro Goodman and his White Tower harmonist have just rehearsed Taboo. Now, if they learn this number by next Wednesday, Mr. Goodman will positively render it at that time. And now, our guest... Oh, hello, Portland.
Hello.
I didn't see you there. Tell me, what is that you have there?
It's a portable radio.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to tune in on this program and see how I'm doing.
Well, let's not risk that, Portland. If you want to turn on that radio, get the quiz kids, why don't you?
But they finished half an hour ago.
Oh, not tonight, they didn't. Benny's on the quiz kids program tonight. And if they ask Benny a question and wait for an answer, that program will be on all night.
Jack is sure going around with the quiz kids a lot lately.
Yes, his next picture is Charlie's aunt, you see. And Benny is hanging around with little kids now to develop a maternal instinct to play the part.
I read Jack had been entertaining the quiz kids every night out in Hollywood.
Yeah, I saw that, too. You know, it must look cute when Benny takes them all into the Brown Derby for dinner. I can see them all coming in now. Each quiz kid carrying his little china piggy bank. And Benny right behind with a hammer. But enough about the big boy of the quiz kids. How about our guest? Did you go over to the circus?
Yes, but Gargantua wouldn't come.
He wouldn't come, huh? Probably doing a guest shot on Truth or Consequences later in the week.
But his trainer is here.
Gargantua's trainer?
Yes. Mr. Allen, meet Mr. Richard Cronus.
Well, good evening, Mr. Cronus.
Good evening, Fred.
You came over alone tonight, I hope. You didn't bring your furry boyfriend with you.
No, Fred.
This isn't Gargantua here with the glasses on. Uncle Gargantua. But you didn't bring your furry boyfriend over, did you?
No, Fred. Gargantua is locked up in his cage over at Madison Square Garden.
Well, that's fine. He hasn't any radio in his cage, has he?
No, Fred. He's wild enough without us.
Oh, he's wild enough without you. Yes, it's safer, too, you know. He might tear off the top of his cage and send it into one of those contests, too, some night. But tell me, Mr. Croner, how long have you been acting as Gargantua's Man Friday?
Gargantua was brought to America in 1932, and I have been with him ever since.
Well, how old was he when you took him?
He was about 1 year old.
Then he's only around 10 years old now.
That's right.
Well, did the circus originally import him?
No, Fred. Arthur Phillips, the sea captain, bought Gargantua from Africa and sold him to Mrs. Lynch in Brooklyn.
Well, how long did he stay over there in Brooklyn?
Until he was 6 years old. Then he got so big, Mrs. Lynch decided to get rid of him.
Before he grew out of Brooklyn and lapped over into Queens, sir. Well, did Mrs. Lynch sell Gargantua to the Ringling Brothers?
Yes, Fred. Gargantua is the biggest attraction in circus history.
Well, tell me, Mr. Croner, how much does your simian colossus weigh?
Gargantua weighs 550 pounds.
And how tall is he?
About 5'7".
And how wide is he?
Well, 5'7".
5'7", no matter how you look at him, huh? Well, have you ever taken his chest expansion?
My mother didn't raise no crazy children.
I see what you mean. Well, how strong would you say Gargantua is, Mr. Croner?
No one really knows. I would say that he's as strong as 20 men.
Well, what does he eat to make him so strong? Is it anything we hear advertised over the radio?
No. An average meal consists of 1 quart of milk mixed with 5 eggs, with some chocolate syrup and liver extract.
That sounds like a recipe for heartburn, Mr. Croner. Well, how many meals does Junior eat?
Gargantua eats 3 times a day and a few times in between.
A jungle glutton, huh? Well, since you have been the only person closely associated with this anthropoid jackpot, Mr. Croner, do you feel that he knows you?
Yes, Fred, I'm sure he does.
Has he ever shown that he likes you?
Yes, but if he ever get a hold of me, he'd kill me in a second.
Well, why?
Well, Gargantua is a mighty mean baby. He hates being in captivity. So he's mad at the whole world.
He's mad at the whole world, eh? Well, I've seen a good many pictures of Gargantua, and I've noticed that he doesn't seem to have any nose. Now, is that true?
Yes, it is.
But is it normal for gorillas of his species to be minus a schnozola?
No. Gargantua has no nose because of an accident that happened when he was a baby.
Well, if he has no nose, how does he smell?
Not bad for a gorilla.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Mr. Croner. You didn't just make that up. That sounds like an old chestnut you rented from some gag man for tonight.
I'm sorry, Fred, but people are always asking me the same question at the circus, and that seems like the best answer.
Yes, the old ones are always the best. Say, I've been reading quite a lot about a Mrs. Gargantua who's with the circus this year.
That's right. Her maiden name was Miss Toto, and she's a very nice girl.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. How old? How old is Mrs. Gargantua?
She's nine.
Nine, huh? And are Mr. and Mrs. Gargantua fond of each other?
Oh, yes. It's a real love match.
That's what you think. It'll probably end up in the Goodwill Court, Jesse. But tell me, do you enjoy circus life, Mr. Croner?
I certainly do. And I think all of us with the Ringling Show feel the same way. We all think circus life is the most exciting life there is.
Well, it's been nice having you over tonight, Mr. Croner. And in case you ever decide Gargantua needs a vacation, just let me know. I'll be glad to get into his cage and substitute for him.
Do you think you could substitute for Gargantua, Fred?
Well, I've been in radio almost 10 years, and if I haven't made a monkey out of myself by now... Well, what's the matter, Mr. Croner? Don't you like that joke?
I think you should have told it to Gargantua, Fred.
Why?
He has no nose.
I get it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Texaco's girlfriend, Miss Wynne Murray, is here to make her vocal contribution to the evening's festivities. Wynne's song tonight is Quittin' Time.
Fly low at quitting time. No more work, no more fight. Shoes are heavy, but my heart is light at quitting time. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Kill a dull silly, keep the boogie away, dance a little each day. Life will be silly. Quitting time, quitting time. Everybody out when the whistle starts blowing. Time to get going where we're going. Quitting time. Quitting time, quitting time. Sun is red and the birds fly low. At quitting time. No more. No more fight. Shoes are heavy, but my heart is light. At quitting. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And Jill a dull filly. Keep the boogie away, dance a little each day. And your life will be thrilly.
Edition of the Texaco News. Surprise spring heat wave breaks all mid-April records in many sections of the country. Millions pant as thermometer hits new high. Texaco News Extra presents digest roundup of reactions to the mounting mercury. First, for New Yorkers report, we quiz Manhattan housewife, Mrs. I'm Amazed. What did New Yorkers think of the spring heat wave, Mrs. Mays?
They thought somebody was giving the town a hot foot.
Things were that warm, really?
Why, the Flatiron Building got so hot, they had to pull the plug out. Yeah, and the IRT got so hot, the tea was boiling.
Really? It must have been hot around Water Street. But where did you say the heat was noticed most?
In Jackson Heights.
How hot was it out there?
It was so hot, the other side of Jackson Heights was flushing.
Thank you, Mrs. I'm amazed. You have coined a phrase. For another reaction to unseasonable heat, Texaco News consults prominent radio announcer James Wallington. What have you to say about the heat, James?
Let this be a warning to you.
To me, James?
To you and motorists everywhere. These hot days are a warning. Don't delay putting your car in condition to stand warm weather driving. And your Texaco dealer is the right man to see for the expert attention, the quality product your car needs for a complete, safe change over to spring. He'll start with a radiator, drain and flush out every trace of antifreeze. Next, he'll get rid of that old, winter-worn oil. Refill with an oil insulated against heat, insulated Havoline or insulated Texaco motor oil. And then he'll see that costly gears are protected with the right warm-weather Texaco gear lubricant. Finally, working by chart, not by chance, he'll give your car Texaco's 40-point chassis lubrication service using Marfac, M-A-R-F-A-K, the famous super-tough lubricant. So step out with a smooth, easy-to-handle, easier-riding car. Tune up for spring at your Texaco dealer. Star Theater continues immediately after a brief pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC New York, 880 on your dial.
Was I looking... What sort of a program is this? The station break gets more laughs than the whole program. That was I Look at You, a song recently written by the Siamese twins and dedicated one to the other. I Look at You. Now, that definitely is very funny. And everybody worrying that my dramatic debut last Friday on the Campbell Soup Playhouse would affect my comedy. Why, if anything...
Mr. Allen, please.
What is it, Jimmy?
Quiet. We're on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, we bring you another episode in that popular radio serial, Simply Simple Sam.
Well, what's going on around?
If you remember, as yesterday's episode closed, Simple Sam was left hanging by his fingertips in an abandoned elevator shaft in Radio City.
Well, what is
Will
this?
Simple Sam be rescued from his perilous predicament? Will help arrive in time? Will Simple Sam's draft number come up before he comes down?
Just a minute, Mr. Wallington.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Fred, you're interrupting a radio program.
I'm interrupting a radio program? Well, what do you think you're doing?
I'm introducing another episode in that popular radio serial, Simply Simple Sam. If you remember, we left Simple Sam hanging by his
finger... How should I remember?
Didn't you hear the program last night?
What program? This is the Texaco Star Theater. Who is Simple Sam? And what is he doing on my program?
Oh, Portland.
Yes, Jimmy?
Didn't you tell Fred about Simple Sam?
Oh, he's hanging by his fingertips, Mr. Allen.
I know that. But who hung Sam up there? What is this whole thing about?
Kenny?
Yes, Porty?
You'd better tell Mr. Allen about Simple Sam.
Well, F.A., Simple Sam is hanging by his fingertips.
Again with the fingertips. Never mind the fingertips. Who is Simply Simple Sam?
I am.
I thought so.
Simply Simple Sam is the new sensational radio serial, Mr. Allen.
And if I am not too nosy, what is a new sensational radio serial doing on this program?
This I, Goodman, will now explain.
Well, it's about time.
Simply Sammy is by the fingerprints hanging.
I know he is by the fingerprints hanging. But why? Who started this business anyway?
Well, you went on another show last Friday, Mr. Allen.
Oh, so what?
Well, we all went on another show, too.
Well, of all the nerve.
If you can do it, so can we. Take a look at the Bill of Rights, brother.
Exactly. What a sauce for the goose is cheese for the blintzes.
Look, I don't care if you go on another program, all of you, but you can't put this clam bake of yours on now.
But Simply Simple Sam goes on the air every night at this time.
And everybody's crazy about Sam, Mr. Valens.
Oh, they are. Mm-hmm.
Also, Simply, Simply Sammy is a homey, lovable program. This I am saying in all simplicity.
It also happens to be a stolen idea. There is a radio serial called Simply Simple Bill on the air already.
Yeah, but I'm even simpler. I'm the boy who lives next door. I'm the fellow across from you in the subway. I'm the man in the crowd you never notice. Simply Simple Sam.
Simple, Simple Sam. And how does Simple Sam, the boy who lives next door, how does Sam happen to find himself hanging by his fingertips 65 stories high?
Oh, that. It's nothing. I got wings.
Simple Sam has wings?
Yeah, I can fly around like Superman.
Well, then why don't you fly down out of the elevator shaft?
I can't. One of my wings got sprained in the last episode. It could happen to anybody.
Oh, never mind that. How did it happen to you?
A manicurist fainted and fell against my wing when I was having my toes manicured.
Toes manicured? Simple Sam, the fellow across from me in the subway. Well, what made the manicurist faint?
She saw I had 12 toes.
Just an ordinary guy with 6 toes on each foot.
No, I've only got 2 toes on each foot.
2 toes on each foot? Well, how can you have 12 toes?
I got 6 legs.
6 legs. The man in the crowd you never noticed.
Yeah, and there I am, hanging in the elevator shaft, kicking out with all of my 6 legs, my tail waving back and forth.
Never mind. Never mind your tail. This whole thing is preposterous. Now, Simply Simple Sam is out.
Then I quit.
All right, I can get along. I'll just tell a few jokes here with Portland.
But I'm on Kenny's program, too. I'm Simply Simple Susie.
All right, Simply Simple Susie. Go ahead and quit with Simply Simple Sam. I still have Mr. Goodman.
Correction, please. I, Goodman, with Kenny also am.
You too, Maestro.
If you are listening to the program Simply, Simply Sammy, the music Home Sweet Home is under the direction of I.J. Foxy Goodman.
You, I suppose, are Simply Simple Goodman.
No, I'm Simply Corny.
You certainly are.
With a capital K, yes.
All right, all right. Don't ever go into spelling things. We'll be here for hours. All right, I guess I'm licked then. Go ahead and do tonight's episode of Simply Simple Sam. I hate to admit it, but I'm a little curious about how Sam escapes from that elevator shaft myself.
I'll show you. Places, everybody. Let's go, Mr. Goodman.
Okay.
Tonight, we bring you another episode in that popular radio serial, Simply Simple Sam. But before we continue with tonight's episode, a word from our sponsor.
Folks, Simply Simple Sam is brought to you by the makers of K.O. cigarettes, the nicotine Mickey Finn. K.O. is the only cigarette that is 3 feet long and contains composite xylitol, a gentle narcotic. Pass out K.O.'s among your friends and watch your friends pass out among you. Get a pack of K.O.'s from your neighborhood dealer now before the FBI gets your neighborhood dealer. Remember our slogan, we'll see you in hell.
And now for tonight's episode. Again, as in the last 5 episodes, we find Sam hanging by his fingertips in the elevator shaft.
Help, help. How long must I hang here? Who will save Simple Sam?
Yes, who will save Simple Sam? Tune in again at the same time tomorrow night to find out.
Oh, no, you don't. Not again, you don't. Now, if Sam's been hanging there the last 5 nights, he's going to get out of his predicament right now.
But how, Fred?
Yeah, how?
I'll show you how. Let me read that script there. Ladies and gentlemen, we find Simple Sam hanging by his fingertips 65 stories above the street level in the elevator shaft. Will help come in time? What happens next? Let's listen.
Help, help. How long must I hang here? Will no one save Simple Sam?
I will.
Quick, tickling me. I'll
let go.
This brings to an end, Simply Simple Sam. But good. Well, pick yourself up, Kenny.
You mean I'm through?
Yes, Kenny, and you ought to be very happy. You know, for a guy who just fell 65 stories, you look pretty good.
Well, anyway, I'm glad it didn't happen Sunday. It would have been terrible.
Well, how could it be any worse?
Sunday, my pockets were full of Easter eggs.
Well, another few eggs on this program would never be noticed. And now, if you don't mind, how did you finish Simply Simple Sam on other nights?
I sang my theme song.
Oh, Simply Simple Perfidia?
No, it's called My Sister and I.
Oh, fine. Ladies and gentlemen, Simply Simple Sam will sing My Sister and I and close this serial for all times. Maestro.
The home that was all our own until, but we don't talk about that. My sister and I recall once more the fishing schooners pulling into shore and the dog cart we drove in days before, but we don't talk about that. We're learning to forget that tear that came from a troubled sky. We're almost happy over here, but sometimes we wake at night and cry. My sister and I recall the day we said goodbye and then we sailed away and we of our friends who had to stay, but we don't talk about that. The warm and lovely world we knew has been struck by a bitter frost, but my sister and I recall with a sigh the world we knew and loved. Lost. My sister and I remember still a tulip garden by an old Dutch mill and the home that was all our own until, but we won't talk about that. My sister and I recall the day goodbye, and then we sailed away, and we think of our friends who had to stay, but we won't.
Sam was at his best tonight.
Excuse me, Fred. Have you seen Larry Elliott?
Larry? Why, he was around here somewhere. Oh, here he
Somebody
is now.
Want me?
Oh, yes. Here's a package just came for you, Larry.
Oh, for me? Well, let's see what this is.
Well, what do you know? Somebody sent me an orchid.
Oh, no, Larry.
Oh, yes, Fred.
No kidding. Oh, look, there's a note with it. It says, an orchid to you, Larry Elliott, for telling me about Texaco Sky Chief. But this isn't signed here. Who do you suppose sent it, Larry?
Oh, that's simple, Fred. Almost any motorist who's taken my tip and tried Texaco Sky Chief. And you too, ladies and gentlemen, you'll feel like sending your Texaco dealer an orchid when you experience that Sky Chief feeling. The real satisfaction and pride in handling a car with flexible power. The range of spirited response that's yours with Sky Chief. Texaco's premium gasoline. For Sky Chief power is alert and steady at 4 miles an hour, yet eager and ready to jump to 10 times that speed on quick notice. It's power that holds its smooth pace on the level. Then, zoom, it quietly takes you soaring up the hills. Yes, when you travel with Sky Chief, you don't just drive, you fly the highway. It's your Texaco dealer's luxury gasoline for those who want the best at the usual premium price.
And now the Texaco Workshop Players. Tonight they pay tribute to an institution that modern science and present-day living have all but destroyed. Tonight, they honor the blessed state of suspended animation known to man as sleep. This epic, then, is aptly called, quote, sleep, unquote. For 1900 years, sleep had its place in the daily lives of the peoples of the world. But the dawn of the 20th century found the pace of modern living tending to outmold sleep. Enemies of sleep were everywhere. The automobile horn, the screeching brakes on cars, the riveting machine, the radio, the fire siren, and a thousand other decibel-shattering devices conspired to stop people from sleeping. Today, in 1941, sleep is practically obsolete. Everywhere you hear people say,
I didn't sleep a wink last night.
I tossed and turned all night.
If I don't sleep tonight, I'm selling my nightshirt.
Big business saw the possibilities in sleep. Products that induce sleep were prominently advertised.
Try Banker Coffee, you'll sleep. Try Vogeltine, you'll sleep.
Try sleeping, you'll sleep.
The great firm of Lewis and Conger opened a sleep shop where sleep-starved patrons could be serviced. Today, sleep is at a premium, and the man who has brought the study of sleep to its highest pitch of perfection is Dr. Morpheus Allen. In his famous snoratorium, Dr. Allen has brought slumber to thousands of restless patients. We look in on Dr. Allen as he finishes showing the life cameraman through his clinic.
Well, this has been a swell interview, Dr. Allen.
Always a pleasure to talk to the press, son. Would you like to look in on some of my patients before you go?
Yes, it might help my story.
Fine. The patient in number 7 here came to me a nervous wreck. Hadn't slept for 6 months. After one slumber adjustment, well, let's look in. I'll open the door. You see?
Amazing.
This room here is Ward 9. All big businessmen. Some of them got so bad they couldn't even sleep in conference. Came to me for slumber service. Let's listen. Sound asleep.
Remarkable.
And next door here is Ward 10.
Is that a sleeping ward, Doctor?
Yes, those patients all live on 6th Avenue. Now that the L's down, they can't fall asleep without this artificial din.
Well, that's fine. This will make a great story, Doc.
Good. And don't forget to work in my slogan, Dr. Allen, King of Slumber. He brings rest to king or plumber.
Yeah, you bet. So long.
Goodbye. Well, I guess I'll get back to the office. Rock-a-bye, baby, up on the branch. How can you sleep with ants in your pants? Oh, good afternoon, Miss Nurse Comer.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Take a note for the medical journal. I have just perfected the Allen Jiffy Nap Pillow.
What is the Jiffy Nap Pillow?
It's my latest sleep-inducing gadget. Instead of feathers, the Jiffy Nap Pillow contains a large rock. The patient reclines suddenly, his head hits the rock, the Jiffy Nap sets in instantly.
Uncanny.
Are all of my patients resting?
Number 406 says he can't keep his eyes closed.
Put a little glue in his eye drops.
Yes, Doctor.
Anything else?
Yes, the patients in Ward 11 are complaining about mice. They're scampering through the ward.
Confound those tenement mink.
Shall I order mouse traps?
No, no, no. The snapping of the traps will disturb my patients. There's only one thing to do.
What, Doctor?
I want sneakers put on those mice instantly.
Yes, Doctor.
What is that infernal buzzing? Have some vitamin B's gotten loose?
No, it's a patient waiting.
Well, show him in.
Dr. Allen?
Yes?
Doctor, I've got to get some sleep. I'm going mad. You've got to put me to sleep.
Quite relax. Just a second. Yes, I'll take your case history now. Your name?
Phineas T. Prius.
Phineas T. Prius? Not the famous criminal lawyer.
Yes, yes, the very same. In the last 2 weeks, I've defended 12 murders, 18 loan sharks, and 7 mopery clients. I'm overworked. I'm habeas corpus happy.
Chronic narcolepsy refuses to set in,
eh? Look at these bags under my eyes.
They're almost big enough to give milk, aren't they?
Look, Doc, you've got to put me to sleep. I've got a big murder trial next week. I'm defending that famous racketeer, Lombard the Lug.
Well, don't worry, Mr. Prius. Dr. Morpheus Allen's snoratorium never fails.
I don't want testimonials, Doctor. I want action. Put me to sleep.
Very well. Don't be irascible, sir. Relax. Now I'll try test one, the bedtime story. Once upon a time, there were 3 bears.
I know. Maxie Bear, Buddy Bear, and Tamim Bear. Come on, put me to sleep.
All right. I'll try test 2. Nurse? Buzz for Murgatroyd.
Yes, Doctor.
Oh, I've got to get some sleep, Doctor. I'm defending lumbar the lung next week.
Murgatroyd will do the trick, Mr. Prius.
Murgatroyd is ready, Doctor.
Well, let him in.
Leaping Brandeis. Watch this.
This is Murgatroyd, my trained sheep. Now, Murgatroyd will run back and forth in front of your chair there. And if you'll start counting Murgatroyd as he runs to and fro, he'll put you to sleep in no time.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Sheep running around? I need sleep, not sheep. Stop and get this moldy-looking ram off of here. Here, he's going to bite me.
Go, Murgatroyd. Scram, ram.
Now, let's go, Doctor. I've got to get some sleep.
Relax, Mr. Prayers. Test two I see as a failure. I noted it on my cuff here. Now we'll try test three. Nurse, buzz for Tosha.
Yes, Doctor.
What is Tosha, a goat?
Tosha is a violinist. Tosha lulls my more maladjusted cases to sleep. Tosha, incidentally, never fails.
You're calling Tosha?
Yes, Tosha. Looks something like Murgatroyd, doesn't he? Yes, Tosha. Mr. Prius here has resisted tests one and two.
Okay, I am giving up with test three. He was sleeping in a jiffy.
Fine. Now relax, Mr. Prius. Shoot the schmaltz to us, Tosha boy.
I am commencing. You are sleeping yet?
I'm not even yawning. I'm thoroughly bored, but not tired.
Nurse, I am playing some more. Are you making with the shut eye?
Yes, yes. Cooperate, Mr. Prius. Lull yourself.
Lull, he says lull. With that infernal catgut din going on?
For the last time, Tosha, give Mr. Prius the word.
Okay, I am going to town.
Thank heavens, Tosha, he's asleep.
Who's asleep? I'm not snoring. It's your broken-down fiddler, Tosha.
And Tosha has put himself to sleep. Wake up. Wake up, Tosha.
Huh? Stop shaking me, Stallion.
Oh! Oh!
Excusing it, please. I am dreaming.
Well, you have the audacity to fall asleep during test three.
Who can help it? Such music I am playing. It is drowsy.
Drowsy is not the word.
Here, what's going on here? When do I go to sleep?
Immediately, Mr. Prius. You haven't responded to test one, two, or three. Desperate measures are indicated. I will have to give you test 77K.
Yes, 77K.
Yes, 77K. Tosha, take Mr. Prius to booth B.
Wait a minute. What is this 77K business?
77K is the Allen Snoratorium's last resort, Mr. Prius. 77K is guaranteed to put any patient into a positive coma.
You mean drugs?
Worse than drugs. The patient is strapped to a chair in a darkened room.
Yes.
A moving picture is shown.
Yes.
The patient sits through three consecutive showings of this picture.
What picture?
Love Thy Neighbor. You are going to see it three times.
No, no.
Grab him, Tosha.
No, okay, little guy. No, not that, not that. No.
Mr. Prius will be in the land of Nod in no time, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
Okay, where is he? Where is he?
Where is who?
I gotta see me lawyer, Phineas Prius.
Why, it's impossible, interloper. Mr. Prius is taking his sleep adjustment.
Yeah, quit stalling, Croker. You know who I am?
Is that the $2 or the $5 question, sir?
All right, come on, quit kidding. I'm Lombard de Lug.
Lombard de Lug?
That I am. That I am. Prius is me lawyer, see? I gotta see him.
But Mr. Prius said your trial doesn't come up until next week.
Oh, me murder trial. That's nothing. I'm in a waste jam right now.
You've committed another crime?
No. I get a notice to report for jury duty this afternoon. Prius has got to get me out of it.
Well, why can't you report for jury duty this afternoon?
I got to break in a bank at 4 o'clock.
You've got to? Why?
To get the dough to pay Prius to defend me for the murder trial.
Oh, I see.
I got to get out of this jury duty. I got to see Prius.
Well, this is indeed an emergency. Mr. Prius is in booth B next door.
All right, let's go.
Surely.
Prius.
There he lies, another dormant tribute to the Allen Snoratorium.
Jumping jeepers. He's not only sleeping, his hair's turned white.
Yes, love thy neighbor will do it every time.
Hey, come on, we gotta wake him up, Croker.
Mr. Prius has taken 77K, Lombard. I don't think we can.
Hey, hey, wake up, Prius. Wake up. Hey, he's out colder than Admiral Boyd's destination. We gotta do something.
You can't wake up a victim.
Yeah, here. Here, I'll try this bugle.
Not me. I'm too old for the draft.
You see, it's hopeless.
Yeah. Well, I gotta get out of this jury rap. Mm-hmm. I'll shoot me gun off near his ear.
I'll tell him when he comes in, Roscoe.
I tell you, it's useless, Lombard. Nothing can snap a patient out of a 77K coma.
Yeah? Well, get this, Alan. You're gonna wake Prius up, or I'm blowing you full of holes.
Hold on, Lombard. Put down that gun.
Hey, yeah, you're gonna wake up this mouthpiece?
Yes, yes. I'll ring this bell.
A bell? You're nuts. If a bugle and a gun don't wake him up, what good will a bell do?
I'll show you, Lombard. Listen.
Where am I? Oh, yes, excuse me. I've got to go. Goodbye, all.
Holy smoke.
There you are, Lombard. You find your mouthpiece outside speeding up the street.
But I don't get it. How...
Phineas Prius is a shyster, Lombard. I made the one sound that'll wake up a shyster lawyer every time.
You mean...
The sound of an ambulance bell. He's outside trying to chase it down. We've come to the end of another get-together. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for letting the Texaco Star Theater service your radio for this hour tonight. We'll be back to render the same service next Wednesday evening at Texaco time. This is Fred Allen saying good night for the more than 45,000 dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in anytime. Remember, you're welcome.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.